Hey guys, happy Easter Resurrection Sunday. All right, happy. This is my favorite Sunday of the year. This is just, we are so happy that you're here with us, just celebrating the resurrection of our Savior. Especially if you're with us for the first time this morning, we are so excited that you're here. I know maybe the worship might be a little different than what you're used to, might be a little loud, people shouting, raising their hands. Let me just say, we don't mean to be crazy. We are just a people in love with our God. That God sets you free from something, you watch how your worship will change. God sets you free from an addiction, you watch how your worship will change. Because we just love our God. We are so excited. And this is the celebration Sunday all together, just celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Man, would you guys pray with me this morning? Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather together just to honor you. Jesus, we thank you for coming and taking all of our sins on you. Our past, our present, our future, God. You conquered death, Father, so that death in our life could be conquered. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for what you came to do. Lord, we ask you, Father, just for hope and strength in our lives, God, in our year, in our families. We thank you, Lord, God, that anyone who is searching can find you, Jesus. Anyone who's looking for something, let them find it in you. We thank you for that, Jesus. It's not about a church, God. It's about you. It's about Jesus. It's your name we pray. Amen. 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 Guys, happy Easter Sunday morning. Guys, we're so excited. Just to kind of rehash a few things for you in case you missed it. We just want to kind of get these to you to make sure you know about kind of what's going on here at Victory. The first one is our small groups, and you can sign up for those. We would love to get you in one of those. They are always open. You can pick one. You can go to the other. We don't have any rules about that. You can try one out. Go to another one you like. You can try them all if you want to. The only rule we have is you do have to sign up for your own small group, all right? You can't, so no, you know, wives, no signing your husbands up for the run club, nothing like that, right? Men, no signing your wives up for women's weight loss, right? You gotta sign up for your own, right, your own small group, all right? So if you want to do it, you sign up for it. So that's our only rule. Another thing is our Ignite Marriage Conference. That's on July 14th. We are so excited. Let me put it this way. We have one of the funniest speakers on earth coming for this conference, okay? It is going to be absolutely fantastic. So sign up, right? So if you want to sign up for that, for more information, it's going to be $20 a couple. And that just covers, we're going to have awesome food. It covers everything, all right? So that's on that Saturday. We would love to have you guys sign up for that. And we call it Ignite, a couple of reasons. One is to ignite the fire back in your marriage. You need that. The conferences are great for giving that momentum. And so we want to give you that opportunity just to ignite the fire. And somebody's saying, well, my marriage is great. It's going fast. Well, then you get to put another log on the fire, right? You get to put something. Because you know a good marriage doesn't just keep that way. You have to work at it. You have to continually work at it or the fire's going to go out. You keep putting logs on the fire. And somebody say, well, you know, it's just too much work. The grass is greener on the other side. The grass is not greener on the other side. And if it is, the water bill is higher, all right? So I guarantee you. So we have that conference for you. We would love to have you guys come to it. The other thing is our growth track. Our growth track 101 is next week. I'm going to be doing that one. If you have questions about the church, this is right after service. If you just want to know what the next step is, you just want to kind of learn more, you've got questions about different things, this is an awesome chance. And I'm going to be in there. I just want to meet you. This is a great chance after church next week. And then we have our baptisms as well. And I'll talk about that a little bit later in the service, but that's next week after service. We're excited about this one too, because our Spanish congregation is also coming to join us for baptisms. They have had salvations just like we've had in the last few weeks, and so they're just so excited to join with us. So it's going to be an awesome time after church next Sunday. So you're going to love it. If you'd like that, sign up at the info table. Let us know. We'll have towels and shirts for you, so you don't have to bring anything. We can get you a whole change of clothes if you need it. Just let us know for next Sunday after church. All right, so that's the announcement part, all right? We got that out of the way, right? You guys can tune back in with me a little bit. You guys look good this morning, all right? You look colorful looking out from this side, right? You got your Easter digs on. Everybody look at the person next to you, tell them you look good on Easter. All right, now look at your second choice. Look at your second choice and tell them you look good on Easter, right? You guys, you got your finery. You guys like my tie? Everybody likes, you like, right? All right. Well, you don't have to clap that loudly. You know, you don't get used to it. I went Right, I grew up in church, so Easter, right, you always wore your best clothes, you went and got new clothes, something Easter, right, and it wasn't Easter clothes unless you were like blinding somebody, right, so I went and asked Target for the brightest tie that they had, and so that's what I'm wearing this morning. I like it though, maybe I'll wear it next year too, we'll see if that happens. But one of the things we want to do when we start off, and this is something we like to do on Easter. We didn't do it last year, we did it the year before, but we like to do this because today's a little bit different. In that everybody who is associated with the church shows up all on the same Sunday. And so we use this Sunday to kind of gather some information from you. And let me just say it this way. This is not a gimmick where we're like, we're getting one thing and we're going to parse the data and try to figure out something else. We mean what we say, all right? So that if you want to just grab out the card, it was on your chair when you came in. Maybe you knocked it off during worship. Everybody, just grab out this card right now. Everybody had one. If you didn't, there's some left on the sound booth for you to grab. Everybody just grab that out for me. And again, you might have put your gum in it already, all right? Just kind of unstick it again and look at the front for me this morning. But this is, we kept this anonymous. There is no name, address. Nobody's coming to your house. Nobody's, you know, calling you on the phone 8 times a week. We're not trying to do anything. It's completely anonymous. And so we have a few things on here. I want to draw your attention, just a couple of them right now and some later on in the service. And that is about 3/4 down the page. It says, is there anything we can pray with you for? And so you might have missed the cards in the foyer when you came in. We gave you another shot at it here because we want to pray with you and for you for whatever it is you're going through. And we started this in the services the last few months. It's just been awesome. One, to be able to know the needs of the congregation. Two, just to be able to pray over them during the week and during the service. And we just want to pray with you for things. And you say, well, why? Because prayer works. It's not something that we just kind of mumbo jumbo and just kind of, you know, let it kind of go off in the street. Prayer works. Prayer can change the heart of heaven, and so we want to pray with you. So you can go ahead and fill that out. I think every chair has a pen, and you can take those. That's my gift to you, my Easter gift to you. You can take the pens with you. Leave the survey, right? So we'll have that trade-off. And then you go back to the top. We got a couple of questions here for you, and I'm going to go to my screen just to show you what these are. The first one is, it says, I'd like to hear a message on what the Bible says about blank, and you just give us a couple of topics or as many topics as you want. I'd like to hear a message. And you say, well, wait a minute, you know, you're the preacher, man. You're supposed to, you know, have the direct link to God, you know, to what you're going to preach about and what these things. And I do pray over these messages and things, but there is something that I've learned, especially from Jesus's ministry, is so many of his messages in the New Testament came from responses to questions that the disciples asked, that the crowds asked, that everybody asked questions. How do we pray? Or what about faith? Or what about this? And Jesus would just respond to those. We got some of the greatest messages that Jesus preached because he was responding to questions. And so we just want to make sure that we are meeting what you guys are asking about, what you want to know about in the Bible. So we want to pass the who cares test in your life. And so just give us a few of these topics. We take these. And here's the reason. Starting next week, we take the top comments. And we're starting a 5-week series next Sunday called You Asked For It. And it's just the top 5 things that you guys write down. And we'll give you kind of the results of the survey, some more numbers next week. But we just want to hit those topics leading up to Mother's Day. And we want to go over what you guys care about, what you want to hear about. So that's that first one. We did this a couple of years ago, and we did it wrong. It's the fault is on us. We gave out a questionnaire that said, basically all it said was, what questions do you have? And we thought that was kind of like edgy and vague and stuff, and it turned out terribly because you guys took it and you ran with it. I promise it was our fault for wording it wrong, but you guys, and so I got my favorite ones that we got from that one and along the year. These are my favorite questions that came through when we asked that. First of all, why don't you have decaf coffee? Wait, go back. Why don't you have decaf? And my question to you, my follow-up question is, why? What? I mean, coffee is nasty enough, but you take the caffeine out of it, there's no purpose. Like, there's no reason. So, I don't know. Bring your own decaf coffee. That's what, there you go. I answered your, the first question answered. Why is there no changing table in the men's bathroom? I don't know. So as of 3 weeks ago, we have a changing table in the men's bathroom. So, there you go, right? We're listening. Amen. All right. So this is your chance to ask for stuff, right? You can. No. All right. And then that's, why does the cable TV work in my living room but not my bedroom? This one was said to me personally, or I would not. It was not written. This was said to me at a service that I would not. I would think somebody was playing a joke on me. I don't know. I don't know why it's doing it. Call your cable. I don't know why your cable works in the thing. I don't know. You shouldn't be watching cable anyways. Come to church. Amen. All right, there we go. That's preaching. That's preaching for you this morning. Where was I? I forgot where I... All right. But I've got more of these questions, by the way, but some of you people are still here this morning, so I don't want to get on your bad side to start off thing. But then the second survey question on here is, all right, I would most like to have a conference focused on blank, whether it's marriage or finances or parenting or families, whatever it is, you would like to see a conference on this. And we're having the marriage conference in response to so many questions for a marriage conference. And so we want to have something, because conferences are great to kickstart things. They're great to give you momentum as you start something, because you get stuck, right? You just get stuck and it's hard to get the ball rolling. And so a conference where you just come and you laugh and you just enjoy yourself, it's just a great way to get good habits or good things started in your life. It's a way just to be changed. And so we want to hear what you guys want to have from that. So fill those out for me and then just go ahead and put it aside for right now. We'll come back to that a little bit later today. Let's go to the message together. I'm going to begin with a verse that I love. It's in Romans. And I've either read or heard preached or seen this verse, I think, every Easter that I can remember. It's just an awesome Easter verse. It's in Romans 8:11. And just as an aside, we would love for you to have your own Bible. I'm going to read it off the screens with you guys this morning, just to keep us all in sync. But if you would like a Bible, we have free ones at the info desk after service. Go and ask for one. That's our gift to you. We want you to have your own Bible, your own copy of the Bible. It's not an Old Testament or a New Testament. It's the whole Bible, all right? So we want to give you that. But Romans 8, it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. In other words, let me explain it this way. That the power of God, the Spirit of God, the power, or the same amount of power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead. Let me say what this verse is saying. It's not just a one-time thing. It wasn't just raising Jesus from the dead. That same power now lives in you. And so if you want to know what it means you don't have to just celebrate Easter resurrection on a Sunday like this. You can experience an Easter resurrection. You don't have to just celebrate something. You say, well, 2,000 years ago, we do celebrate. You can experience a resurrection in your own life, because we all have things in our lives that are dead and dying. And so it goes on. It says it lives in you. And just as, so get this, in the same way that God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life. And I like this verse. It says he will give life. Not maybe, not if, not, you know, if this, that. It says he will give life to your mortal doubt. It's to your dead things by this same Spirit living within you. And what you need to know this morning in this Easter celebration is that God never intended for it to be just a celebration. We do celebrate. He never intended, though, that it would be just a celebration. He intended that Easter power would come into your life and resurrect your dead and dying things. When Jesus died on the cross and then he rose again to conquer death, it wasn't just so we celebrate and say, hoorah, it's so that in your life you can experience resurrection. And so I put it this way. I put it that the resurrection of Jesus gives you the power to close the gap between the life you are living and the life you could live. The resurrection of Jesus gives you the power to close the gap. Because I know a lot of you, you're haunted by that. You're haunted by the idea of, this isn't what my life was supposed to be. Or this isn't how this was supposed to go. Or that's not the path that this was supposed to be. This isn't how it was supposed to be. And what's happened is you've tried to fix things. And you try to do it without God. And not in some cliche way. You've tried to do it without the power of God. And what's happened is the things that you've tried to do, they either unraveled or they haven't gone far enough. And you're still left with this gap between what you want to be and what you are. You're still left with that gap thinking what you could have been. What it could have happened. And as we've been leading up into this Easter, we've been talking about at the cross and looking at how the resurrection of Jesus can help you to close that gap. And we looked at three stories each week. In the first week, we looked at the three thieves who were sentenced to die on that Friday. And then the next Sunday, we looked at the three, the bystander, the executioner, and the Savior. We looked at Jesus and their stories on that Saturday. And so kind of following along with that here on Easter Sunday, I want to look at three again. But not three stories, not three people, but I want to look at 3 days. I want to look at 3 days, the Friday, the Saturday, and the Sunday, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Because the question you might have sometimes when you look at Easter, maybe we don't ask it as often then, is why 3 days? Why 3 days? If he came to die for our sins, to take the sins of the world upon him, to pay for them once and for all, and he died for our sins, and then he was resurrected to conquer death, why the gap between those? Why the 3 days between those? Because even in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, he is showing us something. He's showing us something in the Friday, in the Saturday, in the Sunday. He's showing us something. You remember that Jesus goes through each of these things. It's almost like a separate story to itself. And so I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to look at this from the idea that because Jesus went through these, that you can have it in your life as well. And it says in 1 Peter 2, it says, this is the kind of life that you've been invited into. Let me take a time out and say, I'm inviting you into a journey this morning. But more importantly, God is inviting you. Inviting you into this kind of life, the kind of life that Christ lived. This is the life that you've been invited to, the kind of life that Christ lived. In other words, he showed it. He showed the plan. He showed the way to do it. He showed the method, the process as he lived. And then it keeps going. 1 Peter 2:21, he suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done. He modeled it, and it says he suffered it on the Friday, the Saturday, and the Sunday. He showed that it could be done so that you would know that it could be done. So you would have that hope inside of you that you could experience an Easter resurrection. And also how to do it step by step. I like that phrasing at the end, step by step, that it is a process. That you learn what your next step is, how you can get out of whichever day that you're in. Now, then there's a lesson here. So watch this. Friday, you would agree with me. Friday is the day of pain. Friday is the day of pain because it's on Friday that he suffers and dies. And I mean, it's horrendous. This is the day of the crucifixion, the whipping, the nails, the thorns. It is the day of pain for Jesus. Well, we've seen the scenes, right? Let me just tell you, let me take a step out of this just to say he could have come at any time in history that he wanted. He could have chosen to come at any time in history. He comes today, right? And it's lethal injection. That's how he pays for sins. But he comes when capital punishment is at its most barbaric. When they are crucifying people. He decides to come and have his day of pain. When they are nailing people to crosses. You say, well, why would he choose that? Because he goes through his day of pain to model the steps to show you what you can do when you go through your day of pain. That he can understand what you're going through. That he chose to come at this time to have his day on this day so he can help you through your day of pain. Because the truth is, a lot of you have come here this morning and you look great on the outside. You've got your Easter on, you're smiling, everything looks good on the surface, but underneath you're in pain. Underneath you're stuck in the Friday. In your life. And I knew some of you would come this morning feeling that pain underneath. And you say, well, nobody knows. Jesus knows. Jesus knows what you're going through. And the word I had for this is you're warring. You're at war for yourself. And so I thought about the types of pain that Jesus went through. And I only list these this morning so that you would be able to identify with them. The types of pain that Jesus went through on this Friday. And the first one is the obvious one. It's the physical pain. And we've seen the Hollywood movies. We've read the stories. We know about the beating and the thorns. And we know the scene. And the truth of it is you came today maybe and you experience physical pain. Maybe you have that in your body. I'm not talking high. You have a physical pain. You're hurting. And the problem with that is as it goes on, it starts to get into your spirit and it gets into your soul and it just messes with you. You have that pain that just will not go away. And it starts to mess with you. And that problem, as it gets into your soul, you start to lose hope. You start to lose hope that it's ever going to end. And so it starts to just mess with your life and your spiritual being. And you need to know that Jesus understands that. The Bible says he experienced it on all points. But there's another level maybe we haven't thought of as it relates to Jesus. And that is his emotional pain. Then maybe we don't think about as much when we read the Bible, but it says that he was despised and rejected. And you know, we see the crowds. We see the crowds around Jesus, always the crowds, always the disciples, always the crowds. But we forget that he was despised and rejected. He was made fun of, and probably early in his life, probably because he came from the poor family. You know, there's the kid that was born in the barn. Or are you ready for this? There's the kid that was born to the mom who wasn't married yet. And they probably called Jesus the name that society associates with those children. He was despised and rejected. And he wasn't only betrayed by the crowds and those around. He was betrayed by those closest to him. Remember when he's tried and he's crucified, that everybody who's closest to him bails on him. Not only is he betrayed by them, but they start running. They run from him. And some of you, you're smiling this morning. Again, you've got your best clothes on. Everything is good on the surface, but inside you are in pain. You are feeling rejected. You are feeling the sickness of the soul. Sometimes that's worse than the physical pain. Depression. When you're going through these things, let me give you another type of pain he went through. That is his relational pain. He had relational pain. For those of you who are single, he knows what it's like to be single. Right, and not only does he know that, he knows what it's like to be single and tempted. Because it says he was tempted in the same ways we are, and yet he never sinned. He knows what it's like. Somebody, one guy said, well, yeah, but he doesn't know what it's like to be married. But are you sure? Because the Bible says the church is the bride of Christ, and he is the groom. So not only does he know what it's like to be married, he knows what it's like for his wife to cheat on him. Because a lot of us have taken part in that. He has relational pain. And not only that, though, I don't know if you know the verse, but Jesus had crazy family. All right? Jesus had crazy, I don't know, like I don't know if you met, let's see, we'll do a survey. How many of you have crazy family, all right? How many of you, right? You've got people, a few nuts in your family tree, right? You have crazy, how many of you are sitting next to your crazy family right now? Amen. All right, happy Easter, everybody. And just a piece of advice, right? If you don't know who the crazy person in your family is, it's you. Hallelujah, I'm preaching now, all right? Where am I? But Jesus has crazy family. His family's not all in on his ministry, all right? His brothers and sisters aren't there thinking like, yes, you know, our brother is the savior of the world. They're not. Actually, one time he's preaching, they come and they say, he's crazy. He's the nut job. Get him off the stage. Come on, get him back out of here. He's crazy. Can you imagine what that felt like for Jesus? To have his family treat him like that. And you say, well, why are you saying all of this? Because some of you are in the Fridays of life. Some of you are in the Fridays of pain. Some of you are experiencing these, and I want to just let you know on this Easter Sunday that there is a lesson in it. And you say, well, what is the lesson? I want to show you Romans 8:28. You know this verse, that we know that God causes everything. God causes it all. God uses it all. Your pain, your day of pain, your emotional, your physical, your relational. God uses all of it to work together for the good. God uses everything. There is a purpose in your pain. In other words, God knows how to flip it. He knows how to flip it around to use it for something. He puts purpose in your pain. And that is an incredible thought, that he puts purpose for those who love God and are called to that purpose. So I put this, there is no pain that his purpose cannot redeem. There is no pain that you are experiencing that his purpose cannot redeem. And so if you're in the Fridays of pain, you need to know that. But truth be told, most of us are not in the Fridays. We've had a Friday, but most of us are stuck in the Saturday. Friday of pain, but the Saturday is the Saturday of confusion. Because you remember, the disciples, they're not sitting around on Saturday after Jesus has been crucified on that Friday, gone through the day of pain. They're not sitting around on Saturday thinking like, one more day till Easter. One more day, it's coming. No, they're not doing that, right? They've run, they've bailed. Everything is over. Everything is done. Everything they had put their hopes in, everything they had believed in is done. It's gone. And Jesus even told them, I'm going to raise again after 3 days, and they all forget. And the Bible says they get so depressed and confused on this day. Are you ready for it? Most of them, they all go back to their old patterns. They all go back to their old patterns. And some of you, you're stuck in this season of confusion. Some of you are in the Saturdays of life. You're in the Saturday and you're stuck. And so if the first word was warring on the day of pain, then the day for Saturday, and I hate this word, is waiting. You're just waiting. And you know what you do when you're confused? When you've had this pain, when you've had this purpose, but you're not seeing anything come from it. You start to get confused. You go crazy when you do it. You're stuck between the 2 days. You can't see it. And here's what you want. This is the first one we put up here. Is you want answers. We want answers. And not even like not even, you know, not even the if you just fix it. We don't even want that maybe. We say, I'll just settle for it. Tell me why I had to go through it. God, if you fix it, great, but just tell me why. Why? And I don't know how many times in my own life and growing into becoming a pastor, I've heard this from myself and from the congregation and from people just saying, why? And it's a three-letter word that you probably might ever know this side of heaven. And why? And I ask this all the time. I'm a why person. From when I was a little child to now, I am a why person. All right, I already envisioned it that when I get to heaven, all right, I don't know if you get to do this, but I want a week. I want my first week in heaven before I join the angelic choir or I don't know what my job, whatever, clean the streets, I don't know. Whatever my job is up there, before I do that, I want a week just to ask my list of questions that I have. And I've got biblical ones too, where I just want to find like the characters in some of these stories and just ask them like, I've got a few more questions about like, just give me a little more information that's given. Okay. I just need a little bit more. I had a friend who was hung up on if Adam had a belly button. Like theological things hinged on if Adam had about, I don't care, but when you get up there, you can ask him, lift your shirt, right? Or your robe, whatever they wear up there. You can find out. And I told him, right, I don't really care about that. I want to ask Noah why he didn't swat the two mosquitoes when he had a chance, all right? That's my personal theological thing. Yeah, you can amen there. That's a good place to... We have questions. This is neither here nor there. When you become on staff at a church, or you go into becoming a pastor, you get things sent to you by almost everybody, all right? You start to get everything in the world sent to you. Emails, forwards, messages, videos, lists. And to the best of my ability, I have watched and read and looked through all of those, all right? I've done my best. I get a lot. I'm going to start forwarding them to all of you guys too, all right? You can get on my email chain. But he's saying no. All right, amen. But I, one of the ones that got sent was this one. It was called Ponderables. All right, Ponderables. It was just a list of like one-liners, like things that just make you go, not like blow your mind, but just make you kind of go, just ponderable. Like why is the person who invests all your money called a broker? Right, like that's just ponderables, right? You say, I enjoyed it. Right? Like why don't sheep shrink when it rains? And that one was at the top, and I was like, why don't sheep shrink when it rains? And a little comedic thing for I thought you could use a laugh in there. But we begin to doubt. We want answers, and when we don't get them, we begin to doubt. We start to ask why. We don't get the why. So we start to doubt. Because the disciples, they're not sitting around on this Saturday shouting, you know, hooray, one more day till Easter. No, they're stuck. And one of the guys doubts so much that the word is eternally stuck to his name, Doubting Thomas. Like the resurrected Jesus is standing before him. This is after the first time. This is the second where Jesus is standing before him in his resurrected body. And Thomas is still like, I got to see the hands. Like, I got to see it. I got to put my hand on the side where the spear went in, right? He's still doubting. And some of you have been in church so long that you don't even think it's real anymore. You've gotten stuck in a Saturday for so long that you've started not even to believe that it's real anymore. You're stuck in the journey and you've started to doubt. And you've had to doubt everything. And to truth be told, the doubting hasn't helped you at all. In fact, you felt so stuck and you started to doubt that you moved on to the next stage. And that is you give up. You've doubted so long. You didn't get answers. You doubted so long. You started to give up. I don't know if you've thought about this, but there was the disciples. They had given up so much. One of the disciples commits suicide. And one of the other disciples had given up so much. You remember the one that we think is one of the greatest, Peter. He goes back to fishing. He gives up the ministry. He goes back to fishing. Now, it's not one more day and it's Easter for them. And I hear this from people all the time that when you're in this Saturday, in this confusion, that you feel abandoned. You say, I feel alone. That when you've given up, you say, we feel alone. In other words, people are everywhere. People are all around me, but I don't feel like people are around me. I feel
by myself. And I wish I had more time to preach this part because so I knew some of you would come this morning saying, I just feel alone. I'm around 1,000 people and I just feel alone. I'm at my job or I'm with my family, whatever I am, but I'm alone. And if I can give you one thought about this, about the day of confusion, if on Friday was the day of pain, and the way that out of it is that you see the purpose in it, then Saturday is the day of confusion and the way out of the day of confusion. And this is what I've learned from scripture and from testimonies that I've heard and from my own life is that you get so close to God when you are confused. You get alone by yourself or you get in a worship service and you just begin to worship him. And you start to draw close to God. I want to show it to you in the Bible that when God is far away, what we do, there's a psalm written. It's not written by David. It's written by his worship leader. His name is Asaph. It's a guy named Asaph. And he writes this psalm. And he's basically saying, like, I've seen the wicked prospering and the righteous failing. And I just don't understand God. I don't get it. He says, here I am. And he says this, to no avail. I've been standing over here. It's in vain that I've been standing here being holy for you, God, for nothing. And he says, I just don't understand. He says in verse 16, he said, when I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. I got more depressed. I got confused. It troubled me. And then it says, until I entered the sanctuary of God and I understood. I was confused. I was in the Saturday of confusion. I was starting to doubt. I was starting to feel alone. But when you're feeling that, I just got close to God. I entered the sanctuary. I started to worship. And I understood. And in my life and as a church, we have gone through deep waters. And the thing that I have learned from so many of you and in my own spiritual walk is that when I go through those, I get as close as I can to my God. I get as close as I can to my God. And I get somewhere alone or I come to this church and I get in a worship service or I play the music in my car and I just start to worship and I get as close as I can. And I get a hope and a peace that I cannot describe to you, that I know that my God is with me. And I know that the God who saves me, that has resurrected my life, the God who resurrects dead things in your life, I know that he is with me. And I don't have the answers yet, but I am perfectly content to wait until I see my God face to face. When you're in that day of confusion, you worship, you get close to God. And if you're in the Friday of life, there is no pain that his purpose cannot redeem. But if you're in the Saturday of life, there is no confusion that his presence cannot calm. There is no confusion that his presence cannot calm. And the truth is, I want you on this journey. I don't want you in either one of these days. If you are, I want you to learn how you can get out of them. But I don't want you either one of these days. I want to get you to Sunday. And Sunday is available to you. If you're going through Friday, you're going through Saturday, I want to get you to a resurrection Sunday. That the dead and dying things in your life can be resurrection. If Friday is warring and Saturday is waiting, then Sunday is all about winning. Sunday is winning, and you can have that in your life. You can have that in your life. We celebrate Easter Sunday. The reason we celebrate Easter Sunday, this is the day that Jesus won once and for all. This is what you can have in your life. Listen to me. For some of you, it is Friday. For some of you, you are in Saturday. But Sunday is coming. Sunday is coming for you. And some of you are one sunrise away from everything in your life turning around. You are one sunrise away from everything turning around. And you say, well, how do I get that one? How do I get Sunday? That's the one I want. And I planned this section of the service and I thought about different things, but there is no magical solution. There is no step process, nothing like that. I wanted this to be where I tell you how you can have Resurrection Sunday. Just the easiest and only way that you can have it. You ready for this? It's one name that you can have Resurrection Sunday in your life. And that is Jesus. No, get out. Come on. This screen. Wait. This screen goes forward in my slides, but if I ask them nicely, they can take it back because that was the wrong response. All right. Take it back. There is one name under heaven. There is one person who can resurrect the dead and dying things in your life. It's not a church. It's not something that you can meet somewhere. This is not some book or something like that. There is one person that could resurrect the dead and dying things that can change your life. And his name is Jesus. Come on, church. It's Easter this morning. His name is Jesus. It's not another book you can read. It's not another thing. The only person who can change your life. And he doesn't just offer resurrection. He is resurrection. He is resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? He has to, do you believe that I am the resurrection? Jesus is the resurrection. And I have one goal this morning, and that is to get you to believe that you can have that resurrection in your life. To believe that there is no death that his power cannot resurrect. There's no pain that his power cannot redeem. There's no confusion that his power cannot calm. There is no death that Jesus' power cannot resurrect. There is nothing in your life that is dead or dying that he cannot raise back to life. And I want to close with a verse this morning. It kind of sums up with everything that we've talked about today. And Paul says this in Philippians. Says, I want to suffer with Christ. And in another translation, it says, I want to know Christ. I want to know what he went through. And you see the days in this. And he uses an interesting word here for suffer or know. It's not up here. It's not knowing him up here. It's here. He's saying, I want to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. I want to know him. I want to suffer with him. Says, I want to suffer with him the Friday. I want to share in his death the Saturday. So that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection the Sunday. You see the three days represented. And you can't have any of this without knowing Jesus. Not a church, not good works. None of that is what lets you have the resurrection. It's only Jesus. I heard someone preach one time. They said, if you're going to say anything about the Bible or anything spiritual, get to Jesus as fast as you can. Everything you say points back to Jesus. And that's why this morning, the best decision that you'll make is not a church decision. It's not some weekly decision. The best decision that you'll make this morning is to say that it's time. It's my time to experience resurrection. This is your chance. The best chance that you have to know Jesus. And everybody with me, just as softly as you can, just go ahead and pull this card back out. This is how I want to close today. And every person, come on, everybody pull it out with me. Staff, volunteers, everybody, just go ahead and pull this out. And even if you're not going to play along, go ahead and pull it out. We'll let you give us the blank one back, all right? Just go ahead and pull it out with me. Because I've got one more survey on here that I want to ask you about. Everybody, you've got your card? Because there's four boxes on here. They just say A, B, C, and D. They represent, let me just say this at the beginning here. Whether or not you check one of these, you are one. You are one of these four things. So whether or not you check it this morning, you are one. And the A stands for I'm already in that kind of relationship. I've had resurrection. I have this vibrant relationship with Jesus. I know him. It's not just words on a page. It's not just, I don't know, something that I do because I have to check all. This is, I have a relationship with Jesus. I know Christ. That's A. B says, no, I don't, but that's what I need. B says, I need to begin a relationship with Jesus. I want that. I want to get to the Sunday. I want the resurrection in my life. That's what B says. If that's you, you check that. And get this, if you say, I need to begin again. Some of you say, well, I grew up in church, but I don't really know Jesus. I know church things, and I know repetitious things, and I know maybe this and that, but I don't know the living Jesus who rose from the grave. I don't know. I need to begin again. Some of you, that's your box. You say, I want to begin that again. I want to get back to him. I want to rededicate my life. You need a fresh start. And I can't think of a better day to do that than Easter Sunday. to meet, not someone who knows about the resurrection, to meet the resurrection. Jesus. C is just, I want to consider it a bit more first. Not saying I'm for it, not saying I'm against it, just I want to consider things a little bit more. And if that's you, I want you to hear this. This church values you. Because we don't want to have a church that's just for, we don't have a church that's just for, you know, church people. We want to have a place that people who disagree with us can come and ask their questions and figure things out and still feel welcomed at the same time. We want you to know that you don't have to give anything. You don't have to serve anything. You don't have to do anything. You can just come and just figure and ask your questions. You say, I just want to consider it. You can feel welcome. You are more than welcomed here. Let's see. And D is a little bit deeper. D says, I don't ever intend on making that decision. You say, well, that's a little bit harsh. But if that's you, if you think that's where you are, have the guts to check the box. And let me just tell you, whether you like it or not, and you probably don't, we're going to pray for you. Because there are so many people who come into Easter, so many different people who said, I was in there. I was in that category last year. But now I moved to C or to B or to A. We're going to pray for you. But that's where you are. We just want to pray for you. That's where you are. Have the guts to check the box. God wants to work in your life. So go ahead and just work on your cards just quietly right now. And when you're done, just slip it underneath your seat. We'll pick them up later. When you're done, and slip it under your seat and bow your heads. That's why I'll know you're finished with it. I just want to pray. Father, I pray right now, Lord. God, for people who are contemplating taking this step, Jesus. I pray right now, Jesus. For those who are thinking about it, God, I pray that you begin to meet them where they are to help them close that gap. Lord, I pray that you give them the courage that all they have to do is believe, God. Help them in their unbelief. I pray right now, God, move them across that line of faith. Every head bowed this morning, every eye closed. If you're ready and you checked B this morning, if you checked B on the card, I just want to pray with you. Nobody's looking around. I just want to pray with you. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to make you stand up. But if that's you, if you checked B, if you said, I want to experience resurrection, or I want to rededicate my life. If that's you this morning, I'm just going to ask you right now, no hesitation, just slip your hand up. If that's you this morning, you say, I want to rededicate. Thank you. Just slip your hand up this morning. If you say, include me in that prayer, thank you, thank you, thank you. Nobody's looking around, thank you in the back. That's you. You say, include me. We're not gonna rush this part, guys. If that's you, you want to be included with these five, just raise your hand this morning. If you checked B, thank you, thank you. Just stay in prayer, church. Thank you on the side. Anybody else? Anybody else, you say thank you. You say it's my time. Thank you. Thank you. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we're all going to pray it with you. Those of you who raised your hand, you just pray this prayer with us. Pray it out loud. And the whole church is going to say it with you, with these nine. You want to make that decision, just pray it out. You can say it softly, you can say it loudly. You just got to mean it. You believe it with your heart, you just confess it with your mouth. Come on, church, let's all pray it with them. Just say these words, Lord Jesus, I surrender. Take control of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Save me. Make me brand new. Say these words, today I give you my life. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on, church. Let's celebrate those who made this decision this morning. Come on, church. These people who made the best decision of their lives.
Let's celebrate. Lord, I thank you for every person who made that decision this morning, God. I thank you, Lord, for everybody who made that decision to follow you, to give their lives to you. If that's you this morning, if you made that decision, we want to baptize you. Next Sunday after church is our baptism Sunday. It's just a physical expression of what God just did on the inside of your life. Where the old man goes down and the new creation comes up. We want to baptize you, and then we have our growth track, whatever your next step is. If you want to know what your next step is, that's 101 next Sunday after church. We want to walk this journey with you. Guys, come on, stand up with me, church. Let's end this Easter celebration service. Let's end it this morning just worshiping and praising our Jesus. Let's just lift up our praise this morning. Come on, let's lift up our worship.
Is glorified forever. He is lifted high forever. He is risen. He is alive. Oh, he is alive.
See it again.
Oh, forever. He is glorified.
Sing that chorus one more time. Forever,
forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Let's give Him praise today. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Well, hey, guys, have a blessed week. If you'd like, we will have the altars open. If you want prayer, you can come on down. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.